Okay, here we are. And this is Frank and Josh, or Josh and Frank. It depends on which one of us talks first, and I'm talking first. So
yeah, you started out. You just jumped right in there. You didn't even give me a chance.
I didn't give him a chance.
I need to learn how to work those controls.
Yeah.
So I can sneak up on you.
I'm all for that. All right. Let's see. Frank and Josh present, or Josh and Frank present. This is all kinds of cool stuff going on here.
Let's hope, anyway.
Yes. Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone. Okay, enough with intros.
That was fun.
All right. I guess a little reminiscing here, I guess, for the moment.
Would you like to reminisce?
Yeah.
About something that happened recently, perhaps this past weekend?
I'm thinking about something that happened Saturday. Yeah, we'll do, and then we'll get into a little of the fishing. We got to get a fishing report in today, but the store slammed up today. One of the questions I have is, what do you think about doing February instead of March?
I think that's a fantastic plan. There's way too much stuff that goes on down here in March. You know, every year we get to March, and I tell my wife, okay, look, March is coming. I will see you in the middle of April.
Yeah.
So that's just the way that works. And February, your weather might be a little bit more unpredictable, but maybe not really, because we're still getting cold fronts into March. So.
But I'm not worried about cold fronts. I just worry about rain and wind.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I think of when I think of cold fronts. I think of rain ahead of them and wind behind them. But, you know, it's a roll of the dice no matter what, whether you're doing it in February or March. But at least in February, you have fewer things going on.
If I did it in February and we rained out, we could always do it again in March.
Ooh, a rain date.
Yeah.
That's something right there. I hadn't thought of that.
No, neither did I until just this minute. What we're talking about is our annual tent sale event, and it's gone beyond tent sale. And a lot of people are kind of getting into the spirit. You always kind of promote the sale aspect of something first because people always want to save money. But the event aspect has become more prevalent over the last 2 years. We had 10 individual casting demonstration tanks going. And it was so cool. I walk up and Eric Botnick, the owner of Mirror Lure, is working mirror lures in a tank, showing people how to get it to pause and twitch. And over across there, they were doing the Savage Lures, and Mark Nichols from DOA and Jim with Rapala and Doug and Mary from Strike King out front. And then in the back, we had Gambler Lures working a tank. We had Otter Tails. What did you think of the Otter Tails? Well, hang on. I just keep that in mind because I want to get to the
it's
other.
It's in mind. Don't worry.
Bomber, and then we had Yozuri, and then we had Z-Man. And all of them were doing.
Now, you got to experience way more of that than I did because I came in Saturday after the radio show on Kicks Country and walked in. Robert said, hey, Mark Nichols ran off to find his cell phone, take over his booth for a minute because people are asking me all kinds of questions and I got things to do. I said, fine, no problem. Walk into the DOA booth, answer a bunch of questions, turn around. Mark Nichols is standing there and he's just kind of looking at me while I'm selling his products. And another 10, 15 minutes goes by. I'm sending people over to him to have him write up prices on the paperwork because I don't know what he wants to sell stuff for. That's his deal. But pretty much most of the day, he kind of laid back and just let me sell his stuff. He just kind of played with baits in the tank. And I said, Mark, don't you want to talk to some of these people? Oh, no, you're doing fine.
That's Mark.
But it kept me pinned there. So I didn't get to see a lot of the stuff around the show that I was really hoping to until Mark said, well, you know, it's getting that time. I got to go. And it's like, okay, well, now I can go check out. And then Frank comes up and says, nope, we're going to break this stuff down. Here we go. And then that was it until 7:30. You know, just breakdown.
One of the things we're going to do next year is job assignment sheets by the hour.
I think that that's a fantastic plan.
Yeah. Everybody's going to have job assignments by the hour to go into work. Which booth they're going to be working in for each hour, so they rotate around the show, and no one gets stuck in one spot all day. And
I love Mark, and I love hanging out with him, and we had some chances to talk a little bit between customers, and it was great. Love hanging out with the guy. But
You would have liked.
I would have liked to have seen more stuff. Yeah.
You should have excused yourself. Said, "Hey, I gotta go to the restroom. I'll be back."
Yeah.
And just gone wandering around.
I tried. I did walk away for a few minutes to come back here, grab a couple slices of pizza for me and for him, so we didn't starve. By the time I got back, there was stuff laying on the ground. There were empty pegs. It's like, I leave you for 5 minutes, and this is what you've done. So I felt kind of obligated to stay.
There's two guys in the industry that everybody laughs at. At ICAST, they all look around and go, who are these homeless guys there? That's me and Mark Nichols.
Well, at least you wear shoes. The last time I saw him at ICAST, he was literally barefoot.
That's what I'm saying. He's probably the only guy at ICAST that it looks worse than I do. And that's really saying something for Mark Nichols.
And not just barefoot, but covered in mud because he had spent the morning fishing in a nearby pond, practicing with his PT, trying to catch some bass on it, which he had succeeded in doing, of course. But he came right in from fishing. I mean, he smelled like the pond. He looked like the pond. He apparently lost his shoes somewhere. Yeah. And that's just okay.
But that's Mark. He's literally one of my greatest friends. And I just absolutely, it's so much fun to, as you know, it's just fun to hang out with Mark Nichols.
He really is. Now, I did get a chance at the end of it to talk to Doug and Mary from Strike King. And we chatted a little bit. We talked about their craw baits and, you know, how I've been telling people for years that you can use that kind of stuff in saltwater because there's those kinds of things in saltwater that the redfish will eat them. You know, I never would have thought of it as a trout bait like you did, but, you know, yes, you can use these kinds of things in these areas. And they were talking about how that's picking up. And I told them at the end, I really wanted to spend a few minutes with you guys because Fish and Frank's been telling everybody on every podcast that you guys are literally living legends. And they both kind of stared at me for a second and they're like, what? Living? No, we're not. No, we're definitely not that. He's been making things up. He's trying to inflate us bigger than we are. And I said, well, Frank says he's a living legend too. And they said, oh yeah, well, he is.
So. Yeah, but that's Doug and Mary. They're so modest. And people don't get that they've taken Strike King from nothing to literally one of the biggest in the country, and everybody knows Strike King. And that's Doug and Mary did that.
Yeah. And they're making now a little bit more of a push in towards that saltwater market, which, you know, hasn't really been tapped by anybody who's big in the freshwater baits. You know, yeah, Bass Assassin has Saltwater Assassin, but, you know, it seems like soft plastics get categorized as either a saltwater bait or a freshwater bait.
And I got to tell you, I never expected the crawdad to do what it did. I literally didn't. I was just selling it because a guy wanted the twin tail curl tail grub. And that twin tail grub, I didn't have any in brown. And he wanted a brown twin tail. So I sold him the crawdad. Well, he caught all these fish and everything's going. And then Carl took it out. He's catching trout and redfish with it. Steve takes it out. He's catching sharks. He's catching Spanish mackerel. Another guy took it out, caught snook with it. And the thing's going nuts. It's literally the hottest thing on the flats right now. And who would have ever guessed? I did it just, well, I don't have a twin tail, but I think this will do it.
Right.
And it's the little flat edge on the crawdad claws, that extra flat edge. And when you pull it through the water, you can feel it thump. It's more of a thump than a paddle tail. It's literally one of the best, you know, just as you're pulling it through the water, feeling it, I've never felt anything that's got quite that much to it.
Well, it makes sense, though, because fish are fish. You know, the things that we think that they think our baits are, I don't think that's what they think that they're seeing. They're seeing something totally different. They're seeing something that's alive and lively and moving around and trying to get away, and it just incites those predatory responses. Doesn't really matter what species you're talking about here.
Well, no one ever told a fish if it's a freshwater fish or a saltwater fish.
For sure.
You know, they don't have books on this stuff. We do. We get to read all these things and listen to all these podcasts and all the radio shows. And by the way, Josh Olive is the publisher of the Waterline magazine, plus he's a charter boat captain. He's also the fish coach, and he helps out part-time here at the store because I beg him. And
the host of Fish and Talk Radio and on Kicks Country 92.9.
Yes.
Which I have to mention, because when we're talking about all those things, I just can't stop myself.
No, that's all right.
And I'm on Instagram as @CapJoshOlive.
At Cap Josh Olive.
At Cap Josh Olive. You can see my fishing pictures, which I am making a very strong effort to post at least one new photo every day.
Well, I tried Instagram, but the problem is you got to do it on your phone.
Yes, you do. And your phone does not like you because
Nothing electronic lights me. I sit down at the computer.
Surprised that microphone works.
And, well, my microphone isn't working. I got to put new mic, new cords. I got to do it. But I'm stripping all this down. I'm going to make a new studio here. I figured out where I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it.
Now you just have to do it.
Now I'm going to do it. And we got a new studio coming, so it'll be a little bit better. Won't be quite the cluster that it is now, but I got a new studio. I've finally got that in my head, how I'm going to do it. Tremendous amount of work, because I got a whole bunch of stuff to do. But anyway, getting back into the fishing aspect of it, I was, this was the show where for the last couple months I've been telling people, go to the show and talk to the vendors. See who you like. See whose products you like. And then see who you like and whose products you like. Maybe they got a good product. Maybe you don't like them so much. Maybe they got an okay product and you don't like them.
Well, this is exactly along with your model of let's make it as much like a tackle shop owner going to a professional show as we possibly can, because that's what you do when you go to one of those shows. You see a product, you like the product, you start to talk to the people who are repping the product, you hate the people, now you don't like the product as much, and you don't buy the product. Then you start talking to somebody randomly as you walk by because they say, hey, I like the color of your shirt, man, or whatever they say, and you start talking to them, and then there's a product that they have there that you might have walked right past, but suddenly there you are making an order.
This was the show where people found guys they like and people they didn't like. And it was funny. And even a lot of the captains that work out of the store here were using certain products and met the people and went, I don't want to use that anymore. I don't want to throw their baits. I don't want to buy their stuff. Why right. am I giving them money?
Do
I don't
them?
Like them. And it's funny, but that's what I try and tell people. If you can get rid of the sale aspect of it, put that in the back of your mind, and you're going to save money, yeah. But the big thing is you literally get to meet the guys who do this, or the girls, or whoever it is. And when you meet these folks, you can decide, do I really want to spend my money with this group? Or is it, do I really want to go over to this guy? Because, man, that guy's so cool. And, yeah, he's got good stuff, too.
Right.
And that was the biggest thing I heard this year. I talked to my hand, my right hand, because I'm right-handed and I shake hands with my right hand. My hand hurt so bad at the end of the day. I'd shaken so many hands. And, you know, you get those guys, they're all happy and excited, and they're squeezing down in your hand. Uh-huh. And my hand was literally bruised, which was awesome.
You know what it's like to run for office.
Yeah, I'm not going to run for office. I have a history. I don't want anybody to remember who I was. Okay. You know, that's why we'll never have a good president again. Ever.
Nope, we won't.
We will
not
never.
Not in the era of social media.
No, because like they talk about Oprah running. She'd have to be out of her mind. They're going to dredge up every nasty thing she's ever done and bring it out. I mean, and she's a nice person.
But there's still plenty.
Well, there's still plenty because she's a human, too.
Yep.
And it's just, that's how we ended up where we are, which
this
could
is
be
why
good or bad. But
by the year 2100, we will only have robot presidents.
Robot presidents, yes.
With no past.
No past, yes.
Do you want to talk about the otter tail baits or what?
Yes, I want to talk about otter tail.
Okay, so they fall right into that category of folks you were talking about, that you're either going to love the product and love the guys, or you're going to love the product and hate the guys. Because the very first thing they were doing, at least what I saw of it, which was very little, the first thing they were doing as people walked up was making off-color jokes. That works great.
Well, they're from Jersey.
People.
They're from Jersey. They drove all the way down from New Jersey to do the show. But they have that classic Jersey, and I mean, it's Jersey Shore talk, Jersey Shore fun.
Yep, for
I mean,
sure. No
great
question.
Guys.
Jersey
I mean,
attitude
I
right
really,
up in there.
I really liked them, but they did offend a lot of people.
I can imagine.
There was one a couple down from him that really annoyed everybody. And that was the biggie. That was the most. The other one was number one. They were number two. And then there was another guy who actually
but the baits,
really annoyed some people. But the bait was awesome.
When you see that bait in the water, it's absolutely beautiful. And I got to tell you, they didn't bother me with their off-color humor because I'm so hard to offend that it's ridiculous. But
you hang out with me.
Exactly. You know, I mean,
let's face it. If you can hang out with me, you got a thick skin.
That's very true. But even if I really had not liked those guys, I would still be buying some of those baits because they're just beautiful in the water.
It was amazing. And without that tank, they would have never sold.
No,
because
it looks like nothing when you look at it the first time. I mean, when you showed them to me back here in the studio, I looked at them like, okay, well, what do I do with this thing? And that's why I started chewing on it, because I don't know what else to do with this stupid thing. But, you know, when you actually see it swimming and see it moving through the water, and then you think, well, wait a minute, if I'm a fish and I see that, what's my reaction? You know,
right.
Now I need to get some of these. I need to get them now.
Well, if you start over like with Barracuda, me and him had a little tiff. And mostly because a lot of the guys, when they come into the business, they're so busy marketing to everybody, they don't take care of the customers.
Mm.
The first ones they have, and they expand so quick, it falls apart. And I literally told them, I said, man, I was just kind of hanging out to wait to see if you were going to be here next year. He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, you're so busy selling nets to everybody, you don't take care of the people that you already have. And that kind
right.
of that really kind of annoyed me because it's standard, I'm going to go out of business in 2 years practice.
yeah.
And he said, well, I kind of figured that out and I've kind of backed off on that. Now I'm just trying to take care of the people I got and then I'll expand a little bit at a time.
Dance with the one who brung you.
Yeah. So so Barracuda Cast Nets and I are back on good terms and we're going to be stocking a lot more of the product and working with them a lot closer again. And it's sometimes with the tent sale, you got to kind of clear the air with some people because they called up like 2 days before. Well, can we still come? Because I guess they hear about this
from right.
everywhere, you know, and they were invited, but never, you know. And then at the last minute, I said, okay. And I gave them a good spot, and they sold the most nets they'd ever sold in one day. So it's, you know, in my position, I have to meet the people. I have to be able to deal with them. And if they're not going to deal with me where I can take care of my customers, and because that's my only goal.
Right. That's all it's about. You know, if it weren't for being able to take care of those customers, then, you know, who cares? Why would you even have a tent sale? You know, why would you want your people to come in here and meet these people and try to make some good deals? Because, you know, you probably could have made more money doing this a completely different way. You probably could have put a lot more cash in your pocket if you'd handled it very differently. But the way that you do it, you structure it so that it's all about the customers. It's all about the people who come here to Fish and Frank's and who support you 364 days a year and then get this one day of really awesome.
Because the amount of money I make at the end of this is very small. I spend well over $100,000 putting this together, and then by the time it's all done, I'm just trying to pay off all the bills.
Right.
And but the people,
which, by the way,
really
did you,
seem happy about it, though. They really enjoy it.
Did you explain that to any of the various tackle shop people from other places who were walking around the show trying to figure out what the secret is?
It's amazing that they can't figure it out, because the one thing they don't get is I don't care about the profit. And that's what they don't understand. Whenever these guys, all the manufacturers, they go to these places, the owner of the place is saying, this is what you're going to do, this is how much money you're going to make, this is how much money I want, and, you know, this is all the rules you have. And my rules are, you can't cost me money. Outside of that.
Right, which puts the freedom back into it, which lets these customers and manufacturers really interact with each other in a way that they can't when it's like, okay, I've got a quota that I have to meet, and I know that I can't sell for less than this because I got to give him his piece. And, you know, it sucks the spontaneity and the fun right out of it. But the way you've set it up, it's an incredible thing.
And they don't
thing.
Get it. And it's easy. It's
And here we are explaining it to them.
And
if they want to listen.
Get it. They still don't get it. It's just, you got to forget about making money in order. It's just like, I try and tell people, I'm not in the business of selling tackle. I am in the business of helping people have fun and catch fish. That's the business I'm in. And the tackle sales take care of themselves. I mean, I move millions of dollars worth of tackle a year. I'm ranked in the top 10 or top 20 and from many manufacturers in the country. And we have one crummy little store in Port Charlotte. But
well, and one crummy little store in North Fort Myers.
But the thing is that I'm not concerned about selling tackle. I'm concerned because if people are not having fun and they're not catching fish, why would you want another lure? Why would you want hooks? Why would you want a rod and reel? If you're not having fun and you're not catching fish, what's the point? If they're having fun and they're catching fish, they're going to buy another rod. They're going to buy more lures. They're going to buy more hooks. They're going to buy more bait. That's the secret of it all. Literally, that's the entire secret to my business. And that's how we do the tent sale.
So, anybody who would like to duplicate Fish and Frank's, you now have the formula.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Have radiation treatments in your brain. Be born with slight seizures. Have a really screwed up personality, and you know, be diabetic so you really can't think well.
Yes. Be diabetic and have donuts for breakfast.
Yeah, I did.
I know. I saw.
Yeah. Donuts, moonshine, and a couple of things of Fireball during the day.
Yep.
Can't be happy all day.
Yep, so, I'd want to try to replicate that. Why not?
Yeah, if you're a store owner, just go down and have some radiation shot in your brain. Be diabetic, eat donuts for breakfast, have a couple shots of moonshine and some Fireball shots during the day. You'll be fine.
And a pass that would never get you elected to any office.
Yes.
Perfect.
So, anyway, going back into the fishing aspect of it, going around, hook, line, and threader. Did you get to meet her?
Did not.
Very pretty young lady, and she's super nice. She's very good at this, and she did four times the sales that she did last year. Last year was her first year, and I try and tell these people, our customers are in tune with my attitude, and my attitude is, yeah, you're here once, okay, well, maybe I'll give it a try, but when I see you the next year, okay, now I know you're going to be here.
Right.
Now the product's going to be available. I know I can count on you. And so her sales went up, and the pegs are empty in the store. We've got to reorder. It's all about building a trust with people. And this hook, line, and threader, she literally puts it through a live shiner or shrimp or whatever, and they stay alive, and they've got this nice double hook in them or a single hook, and it really works good. So doing the hook, line, and threader is kind of it's something people aren't used to, but now her second year there, she literally four times the sales she had the first year. And several of the guys the first year, I'm saying, you know, don't expect much, because our people don't trust anybody they haven't seen before. If we see you once, okay, but the second time, the third time. Now, like Jim at Rapala, he's been doing this 11 years. People mob that booth. Eric Botnick from Mirler, he's done it 10 years. People,
well, because now they're friends.
And he was given buy two, get one free.
I saw that sign because he was across from DOA. So I could tell he was doing that, but, you know, that was really all I could see of him because his booth was full of people all the time.
They become friends with Eric. They become friends with Mark Nichols.
Exactly. So they come back the next time, and, you know, it's not like they're meeting Eric Botnick. It's like they're talking to Eric Botnick, who they already know because they've seen him for the last several years, and they're just coming in. They're telling him how they've been doing with the mirror lure. What's the new stuff? What have you got? What's the deals? Let's see.
You got a minute, Tim?
Sure.
Hey.
Here.
Listen.
Hang on. Just let me hit... All right, walking by my office in our magnificent studios, you know, here in downtown Charlotte Harbor, Florida, Tim, the owner of Reaper Rods, and we've been discussing tent sale and what happened, and one of the mistakes I made is, remember I said, when your awning's out, okay, how far out, and we measured to the edge of your awning before we put the other booths there. From now on, where your thing goes, we measure where the awning comes out, then we have to have 15 feet.
Yeah, we had a traffic jam all day down there.
We need, you know, 15 feet in front of there. I go over there, and Tim, now Reaper is the most cult hit on fishing poles in the country. I mean, it is a cult classic, and the reason I call it a cult is because you got to know somebody who owns a Reaper to know about Reaper. And
right.
Everybody who knows one.
It's a quiet kind of a thing, yeah. But it gets out, because this is one of those kinds of things where word of mouth is everything.
We tell everybody, you know, we're an underground sensation. And unfortunately, I mean, we really are not underground anymore.
You were in jail sensation there
Saturday. I got behind that rack and couldn't get out for like 2.5 hours.
And you've got all the rods in front of the awning and everything, and under the awning and out, just out in front of it. And I'm looking at Tim, and he's behind this wall of fishing poles. He can't even get out front. He's passing rods through this thing. I mean, and people are going, I want that one, I want this one, and what do I got out of this? And it was a madhouse.
Yeah, control chaos.
You know.
Half controlled.
Well, half controlled. We're a little out of control at times, but.
Yeah, well, you guys are always half out of control.
So. Yeah, well, good point.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Did you get to see any of the rest of the show at all?
I actually, this is the first time, I think, in the last, you know, 4 years that I've been doing it, that I actually got out for probably about 20 minutes and was able to kind of walk around and you know, see some things. And it was good to see some people like, you know, Patrick Sabeel here and get to talk to him for a few minutes and, you know, what's going on in his life. And you know, checking out all the other stuff that, I mean, in this year, this show had more stuff than ever. And
I guarantee you
more new stuff that was, you know, it was kind of missing from your arsenal over the years, and it's good to see, you know, it's an expansion.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems I've got is, where am I going to stock all this stuff? I'm literally, one of the reasons I want to build a new studio is so I can add my office to the retail space. I need more retail space because I've got so much new product to put up. And where am I going to put it? I'm already hanging stuff from the ceiling.
Build a second story.
Yeah.
You can't go out, go up.
Yeah, if I can't go out, go up. So, but it was pretty cool. Did you see anything while you were meandering around that kind of caught your eye?
I mean, I got to see the new coolers that were here. That was interesting. Some of the... was it Danko that had the knives and the tools and stuff? You know, I hadn't seen some of their products before, and they look, you know, the price point was great.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're half as good as, you know, what they look like they are, then that's a heck of a deal, too.
I've been selling Danko for a long time and been friends with the folks over there. Nice guys. What happened was the guy who was working the Danko booth, he just started with working for Danko over the last year. And he used to work for another rep group. Now he went directly to the factory, and he's working with Danko. Well, he called me up, and he says, man, I got to come to the tent sale, because he's been to two or three of them with another brand.
Yeah.
And he says, I got to come. Well, I've been buying this stuff anyway. I deal with Danko, and their pliers are good, and the price point's good. And well, he made me a great deal on them. So drop my price way down so he could drop the price to the customer's way down. And that was really cool. What's up, baby?
Don't call Tim baby.
She's not wanting to give up.
She's giving him his check. Oh, my God. And that one hurts. Reaper.
She wasn't happy to see me today like she usually is, too. And I'm like, yeah.
Let me see that for just a second. I'm not going to mention the amount, but I just want to.
Just want to look at the.
Oh, my God. That, Jesus. Like, holy cow!
Must have sold a few rods, huh?
I get mugged getting out of here. Come on.
Must have sold a couple of them.
Like I told you, we were off on quantity this year, and not by much. Yeah. But we were, you know.
It was a much higher end rod.
We seemed to be, you know, our higher end stuff that we were having difficulty kind of, you know, getting people to even try because of the price point.
No wonder you like
had
me,
no problem.
For God's sakes. Well, Tim always, you know, he always comes up and he's real friendly and he shakes my head a lot. I had no idea I was paying you that much money.
Well, yeah. You know, the Reapers have been out for a few years now, and people have kind of gotten used to the idea of, okay, now I understand why I'm paying the extra money for this rod in the first place. You know, here in the shop, when you're selling somebody a rod and they're looking around at what they want, and you're giving them, okay, here's the Reapers, here's why you might want to consider a Reaper. You know, we've got the science behind it, and that's all good. Your casting distance is farther. The rods are amazingly tough and durable. But here's the big sale point is the customer service. Look at this tag right here. You see this number on here? This is the guy who builds these rods.
personal cell phone number. It is right here on there. You can call the man and talk to him if you have an issue with the rod.
Well, the biggest issue I have with Reaper rods, and the number one problem, the one thing most people hate about Reaper, is when they buy one, they usually end up buying another.
Right.
And then another one. That's the number one thing that gets people upset. I tell them, here's the problem straight off the bat. You buy one, unfortunately, and you're going to hate this, you're probably going to buy another.
And they're like, no, I can't believe I'm spending this much money for this rod. This better be an amazing rod, but this is just going to be my primary rod. You know, I'm going to use this for special things. I got my other rods. Those are going to be my backup rods. That's what I'll have for all the other kinds of fishing that I do. And they do that for a little while. Until they have to fish with that backup rod, and then they're like, wait a minute, why does this feel like, oh, that's right, because I've been fishing with that Reaper, and now I go back to this thing, and now I'm going to have to go, oh, Frank was right, that jerk.
Yeah, there's an F in front
of
Frank.
Yeah, they use words that I'm not going to use on this show.
Yes. There's fish in Frank, and then in the industry, there's an F in front of Frank, but it's right. Not really fishing. Okay.
No, we had one guy, I'll never forget, the first tent sale we did here, and like I said, did we do spectacular for being a relatively new company? Yes, we did. And, you know, a lot of that goes, you know, back to you and you helping us promote us. But I'll never forget, it was like 3 or 4 days after we did the sale, I get a call from this guy, and he goes, I got a huge complaint about your rod. And I'm like, okay, well, what's wrong with it? He goes, I can't seem to get my bait into the water. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I keep going in the trees. I said, I told you were going to have to back up about 20, 30 more feet. And he goes, that's incredible. You know, and that's when you hear stuff like that, it's comical. It's
fun.
It's fun. And you know, and these are the guys that I see every year at the tent sale. They come back and you know, they buy more.
At the Fort Myers boat show, at the Bonita Springs boat show, the Charlotte County boat show, the tent sale. For those of you who don't know, Tim and I are not partners. We're not business associates. We're friends, and we do all these events together because we're friends. But you can see us at the Fort Myers Boat Show, the Bonita Springs Boat Show, and the Charlotte County Boat Show, as well as the tent sale. And down in Bonita Springs, you have got such a following down there. I mean, every year that we've been doing this now, and it's the same people every year coming back, bringing their friends in. Yeah. And that's how Reaper is growing. It's literally word of mouth. And I think the best thing is you can't get in on the internet.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing about it, because
we get all
I think
the time.
Once you're on the internet, I think it just becomes
right. You know, it's you know, like you've always said, it kind of, we created a mystique, I guess you want to call it. I mean, you can't buy it online. You know, there's only, you know, predominantly one store, one you know, bait shop, wholesaler, whatever, in a county that has access to it, and it's one. We don't put them on every street corner. We don't put them on every shopping mall. We're not gonna. That's just not what we're wanting to do.
And you know, I was looking at my rankings with some of the companies, you know, nationally, Southeastern, and all that, and I'm quite honestly doing pretty good. And I'm the only one who doesn't have an online presence, who's not selling online.
Yeah,
literally the only one, and I literally outrank almost all
because
of them.
Because it's a different
online way
of taking care of customers, and it's one reason probably why you and Tim get along so well, because you're really taking care of the folks who are taking care of you. You're building much more than just a customer-retailer kind of relationship.
I thought it's because we were both DARS.
DARS? Daughters of the American Revolution?
Dumbass rednecks. I thought it was a whole DAR aspect. So we were talking about Otter Tales. Did you get to see that?
That I did not.
Yeah. I think you're going to want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got a ribbon thing that goes along. I think it's going to be probably next year's Cobia crushing device, maybe even tarpon.
Well.
Yeah. I saw it for the first time in the tank, and with the 10 casting tanks. And the booger is, now I got to go out and buy more tanks, because everybody's got one, and everybody says, oh, you know, when's the show next year? When can we come back? I mean.
And I need to talk to them about building one of those in transparent color. Because, you know, I talk about the things that fish eat that people don't realize fish eat. One of the things that is a major food source during certain times of the year is eel and tarpon larvae, leptocephalus larvae. They look exactly like that ribbon thing, only they're completely transparent, like a blob of water is what they look like when you take them out of the water.
Like one of those jellyfish.
Yeah, but when they're swimming along, they look exactly like that otter tail does, just with no color at all.
Hmm.
And fish eat the crap out of those things when they're available.
All right, well, I'll talk to him. He was pretty excited about the tent sale. He's never been to an event quite like that before.
Yeah, well, how many events quite like that are there, Frank?
None that I've ever come across.
It's kind of hard to have experience with them when there aren't many more.
Well, I think the reason that it's successful is because of getting me out from between them and the manufacturers. And people always say, what are the specials going to be? And I go, I don't know. And nobody believes me, but I literally don't know. It's just like you said, you're in Mark Nichols' booth. Well, Mark's setting the prices on that, not me.
Right.
And people don't understand.
And I did see him do retail on a couple of people.
And
because he did not like them and the way they approached him. You know, when they first walked into the booth and the first thing they said was, what's the price on this stuff? You know, most of the stuff that was in there was already retail marked from the shop, and he gave them that retail price and wrote it down.
And that's what I try to tell people. Squeaky wheel gets retailer higher, and that's one of the rules of the show. And the nicer you are, the better the questions you ask the guys. You know, how do you do this? What do you do that? Can you show me this? Can you show me that? And the more you engage, the nicer you are, the more questions you ask, the better your price is going to get.
Yep. And I saw him with a few of those people, too, where they'd come in. They were talking about using those snakes out there and catching redfish. And he got into conversations with them, the few real conversations he got into with people. He didn't quite give those away, but I bet he sold them for less than what you'd be able to buy them for.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. I know I'll end up with credits. I always end up with a bunch of credit slips from Mark because he's going a little too deep. And there's several of the booths I end up with credit slips because he actually goes below my cost.
Yeah.
And there's several of the booths that go below my cost on stuff. And I end up with a stack of credit memos because, Frank, you know, I got a little, you know, I got enjoying this guy and he got this deal and this deal and this deal. And so I get to make up the difference. Because like I say, the main thing is they can't cost me money.
Right.
I don't have to make a profit, but then it can't cost me. Luckily, I do pretty good on Reaper. I'm really excited about that. I saw your check. I'm kind of excited about mine. And we beat last
that
year. We went... We did considerably better than last year, which I didn't even think was possible.
Yeah,
I honestly didn't.
Well, you know, we were hoping to, if we could even come close to what we did last year, it's great.
And that's what I was hoping for, but we actually
and we did better. We did. You know, we did. A couple percentage points higher than we did last year.
So I'm looking. My God.
Now, does that include the cost?
No wonder Terry was not wanting to let go of that check. She gave it.
She goes, I'm not ready for Tim. I'm not ready. What's he doing here today?
It's like watching, you ever fight with a golden retriever in a rag? that was what it was right there. All right. Anyway.
Does that include the cost of giving away those two customs that you guys did?
No. The two customs are all
the
me.
The guy was just freaked out getting that free Reaper rod.
Really?
Tim did you did the drawing. And for those of you who don't know, Tim, if you bought a rod, you were in a drawing to get one for free. The guy came in, his eyes were big. And we're headed to the rod. He's just, literally, his hands were visibly shaking. He was just so wowed.
And it was pretty neat. You did the two customs, and they were both the same pattern, and one of them was gorgeous, and one of them was so ugly.
It was in the eye of the beholder, the beer holder, one of the two.
I thought they were both gorgeous.
The colors together on that, it was just like, oh, why would you put those colors together, Tim? And he said, well, somebody's going to like it. Just because you don't doesn't mean nothing.
Yeah. Believe me, when you get into doing custom stuff, and I don't care what it is, if it's custom paint jobs or whatever, you may do something for a customer that you think is hideous. And believe me, I did one of those last week. And, this young lady was over the moon ecstatic. And I'm just like...
Wait a minute, was that the flamingo rod?
Yeah.
That rod was gorgeous.
And I mean, I spent a lot of time on it. And
now you know why you and I liked it. And this one is going, oh, that's hideous.
Let me tell you the backstory. This is a customer. She contacted me, wanted me to do two customs, one for her, one for her husband. And, you know, I'm sitting at that, I believe it was at the Fort Myers Boat Show. And I bring out the color chart for her. So I said, all right, you pick your colors. Because it's so much easier when the customer says, all right, I want a 485, I want a 692. Okay, that's part of the battle right there. Now the design is just me.
Right.
So she comes and she picks up the rods, and I wasn't there. And she loved her husband's and hated hers to the point to where she calls me that night and she says, you know, wasn't what I was expecting. And I got to be honest with you, I don't like it. And I told her, I said, to be perfectly honest with you, I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't think the colors meshed really good together. And I said, I'll tell you what, though. I said, we have zero. And when I say zero negative feedback, I mean, there's none on Facebook. There's none on Instagram. There's nothing in the public. No one's calling me, telling me they're unsatisfied. So I don't want to start now. So I said, you know what? I will. You come to Frank's tent and say, I'll bring me the rod. And, you know, I'll build you a new one that is more you. She's all about the flamingo. She's all about the green and the pink, and that's her thing. So on a whim, I said, you know what? I'm going to take that new blank we got, this new green blank, and I'm gonna do it the colors that, when I see flamingo, this is what I see. And when I see how she dresses, this is how I saw pink and green all over the place. So I just did it. She may not even like it when she gets here, but I did it anyway, and she showed up, and she actually loved it, but still won't give me back the other one. She's going to keep that one, too, and bought that one, too. So, it's just, you know, and then that goes back to, it may not be what she likes or what the color she liked on that other rod, but she's fished it now, and I can't get it out of her hands. So she's going to keep them all.
And well, you know, I got guys that come in and they say, well, you know, I got this, and, you know, I bought that from you the other day, and I'm not really, you know, it's okay. I said, well, bring it back. Well, what do you mean? There's nothing wrong with it. I said, bring it back. The last thing I want somebody doing is going and saying, well, I got this at Frank's and it's okay. I want people to say, I got this at Frank's and I freaking love it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got something you're not happy with, bring it back and I have one guy, I literally went through four rods, two reels, four rods, to finally get one. At the end of it, he was thrilled. But that's the end game goal, you know, because how else do you do it? And
but,
you got people going around, it's okay. Who cares? Right. I want them just in love with their
stuff. But, you know, you don't know who that one customer is that, you know, if they're unhappy and they spread unhappiness about your product. Yeah, I don't want that. I mean, have I met a customer that there is no making them happy? Yes.
And
everybody
those
does.
Are the ones we run off.
But,
because
exactly.
They don't have friends. They go on the internet. They write bad reviews because nobody wants to talk to them. They're just miserable freaking people.
Yeah.
And I literally don't have time for it. You know, if somebody comes in and they're all coming and going, you really just having a bad day? Is this, you know, I mean,
is this how you normally are?
Yeah. If this is how you normally are, we're really going to rethink our relationship here. But, you know, and most of, you know, 99% of the time they look, go, yeah, this day sucks. And I'm just really grouchy. Said, I get that too. So what can we do to make it better?
Yeah.
You know, but some of them, there's just a guy bought a reel one time and it was obsolete. They quit making it, and he wanted the exact same one back. I said, but I can't do it. They're not available. They're gone. I said, you can have any one of these five, and I want this reel back. And there was like five people standing behind him. Finally, I looked at the people standing behind him. I said, is it just me, or is this guy a royal jerk? I said, is it just me, or am I never going to be able to make this guy happy, and should I just tell him to go pee up a rope? And they all looked and said, well, that's probably the obvious choice, Frank. I mean, when the customer's in the store looking, going, yeah, guy's a real jerk. Go buy your stuff somewhere else. Yeah, you know, I always tell people, yeah, I might be... I'm part of the local colored. I have this, you know, walk around living legend type famous, everybody loves you type thing, but I'm probably the most hated person in Southwest Florida, because if I have annoyed or upset 0.25% of the people that I've ever dealt with, that's tens of thousands of people just can't stand my old white wrinkly ass, you know? I mean, that's just the way it goes. So I always try and keep that in mind. It keeps me more in check.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, it boils down to you're not gonna you can't be everything to everybody.
No, and know? I
and once you accept that and do what you're good at and what you focus on, life gets a lot easier.
Well, look at how many. And the one thing I try and do at 10 Sales, talk to people, try and guide them to where they need to be, who they need to talk to, get them over there. I mean, I was in the Star section, the Penn section. I was in Iowa. I was in Shimano. I was in literally every booth all day. And talking to people, trying to figure out what they wanted, who they needed to talk to, you know. And they were just happy. And even when we were in the jam-up line, between the freezers and the back door a couple of times, they were still happy, you know. They were like, well, Frank, you know, it's really busy, I guess you're doing the best you can, you know. And it was, they're wonderful. And they're,
right.
And the truth of the whole thing is that I can get, and I have the buying power, the political pull, if you will, to get a manufacturer to come once. But it's the customers, the clientele, that brings them back year after year.
Yeah.
That's why they instantly, at the end of the show, they're like, can we come back next year? Can we do this again?
And that's the real reason why nobody else will ever be able to duplicate this. Because they may have one or the other of those things. They may have great clientele, or they may have the pull with the manufacturers. But nobody else really has both to be able to actually pull it off more than one time.
And I did... I found two people I don't want to deal with anymore. I actually did. I had two of the people that came to the show that I'm not buying from again. I'm done with them. And I've got a couple of new ones that I'm going to really expand on the products and really do a lot more with. But for me, it's kind of the exact same thing as the consumer we were talking about. And what Josh and I were saying is this is the time to meet the people who make the tackle you like fishing with.
Yeah.
And see, do you really want to buy from this guy? You know,
do you want to support his cause?
Do you want to support him, or do you want to go, well, you know, boy, I like the product, but I don't like them at all. I'm going to go over here. I like his product pretty good, but I really like the people, you know. And that's it happens to me as well as the consumers. So,
for sure.
Another different aspect of the tent sale that people don't really focus in on. I'm going to have to say Otter Tail was kind of a hit. Hook, Line, and Threader picked up a lot. People really kind of getting used to the idea that you can use a needle and thread it through your bait. The new concept guy, did you see the guy with the circle hooks with the weights on them?
Yeah.
Feedback, what do you guys think?
I didn't have a chance to see him. I've seen the product. I think the product is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And
that's something that its time has really come, because, you know, with having to be, when you're offshore fishing, using a circle hook, a weighted circle hook is a fantastic way to get that down there. It's something that we really needed.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good idea. I hate circle hooks, so, you know, I'm a little biased, but did you see him, Tim?
I saw him, but, you know, for me, it's something you got to try it, you know. The concept is a great idea, I think. But until I actually try something, you know, I'm not going to speculate on it.
Yeah, it was different, and he's a pretty good guy. So we've got him in stock. We're going to be expanding it out a little bit and see where that goes with the new concept things. It's a circle with a let it. It's kind of in the Keys. They have those yellowtail hook things, mm-hmm. and it's a J hook with a little weight on the shank. And what he did was make circle hooks with a weight on the shank.
Right. And I've tried to make things like that where you're kind of piecing it together with stuff you've got, trying to pinch split shots onto it. It never holds on very well. You know, you're always losing your weights. It just doesn't work right. They slide down the hook. With what he's doing, it won't do that. So, you know, I've had limited success with my own rigs for that, but I think it's just been a problem with actually being able to put them together right.
Okay,
so I'm really excited to go fish his stuff.
All right. Here's a thing I'm thinking about doing. I think I asked you about, what do you think of February instead of March? Maybe February 23rd instead of March 16th. Got to talk about that and see what you think. It's going to be one of those 2 days. The other thing is, I want to move Daiwa into the back lot because he needs more room than he's got, and he was kind of crowding out a little bit. So if I move Shimano from where Shimano is over to where Daiwa was, and I get Luigi's to sell pizzas and drinks there where Shimano was, what do you think?
My guys won't have as far to go to eat.
Yeah. Well, if you got the green badge, you get free slice, you know. But what do you think? Is that... if Dave will go along with it, I don't know. But everybody was begging for slices of Luigi's pizza, you know. And
yeah, I had to kind of hide mine, and I had to kind of do the right. turnaround on a couple of people so they didn't take them.
What do you think? You think it's a good idea?
It's a good idea. I mean, we've had several people because, you know, of course, I always have a cooler in the trailer, you know, for all of our crew. And, you know, we had, you know, just customers walking up. Do you got any water? You know, and you know we gave out probably a case and a half of water.
We had several cases of water. We're handing them out to people and all that. But I was just thinking if I could do that with Luigi's, that would add another aspect to the show and people could relax a little bit. And I could literally, you know, kind of fence off an area behind you and just put a couple tables there and let them sit for a little while and get away from the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, and then once again, you know, Dave's a great person over at Luigi's, and he fits right into the organization, so part of the crew. What better? I mean, he needs to be the guy in here.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody besides Dave I'd really want to. Yeah. Obie's over here was real nice folks, too, in the Schoolhouse Square. I met them at that Big Boy Toy Expo. They had a nice sandwich. Thought about them, but my first choice is always Dave. Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be? Yeah. And I didn't hear that this year, but last year when I was here, I was moving more around, and I heard some people talking about, you know, they were hungry, they were headed out to lunch, and they were going to come back. So if they can do that on site.
3, 4, and 5 times during the day. Literally 3, 4, and 5 times.
But if Dave was here, I mean, if they left and didn't come back, let's say, right. You know, if Dave was here, then they wouldn't have left. Yeah.
But there's a positive and a negative here, because when they left and then came back, they also took their bags with them and dropped them off in the vehicle. So they came back, they were empty-handed, so they could load up on more stuff.
Well, Cart City, they're right down the street from us. If you're in Florida and you need a golf cart, check them out. You know, I don't know much about golf carts and golf cart places, but I will tell you, I went in there and I'm talking to the owner of the place and the manager and the people that work there, nicest folks I've ever dealt with. They donated 8 golf carts to us for the day to run people back and forth to their cars and stuff. And it was phenomenal. Then if you have any need of a golf cart, please make sure they're one of the places you check. I hope you buy from them, but I'm just going to say make sure you check with them, because Cart City, and they're just down the street from us by that big marine place down there. And what an amazing group of folks.
Josh, maybe you could be like a personal shopper next year and just carry their stuff.
I can carry their stuff for them.
Yeah. You did that last year.
I did do that last year. You did that last year. I have done that more than once here in the shop, and that's perfectly fine. I've actually got a client that I'm going to be doing that for here in a couple of weeks.
We did. So. The first thing in the morning, we had just a bunch of people come, you know, to the trailer, and I don't want to walk around with the, you know, my fish. I wanted to be here first, but right. I don't want to walk around. So at one time, I think we had 30 rods that were inside the trailer holding on to for them to come back.
Well, what we're going to do next year is, because we put up the volunteer tent, is I'm going to have tables and shelves in it so people can write their name on the bags, put them in there, because once your bag goes, it can't go back inside. So we're going to have a holding place with people's names on it, you know, kind of like a coat check thing.
Right.
You know, so they can put their rods or their whatever they want and just go back and meander around, not have to carry the stuff. So that's one of the things that's going to add to next year is what we're going to be doing. Anyway, I am going to say I can't think of anything else we should be talking about. It's Tim, the owner of Reaper Rods, is in the guest spot. Captain Josh Olive in the chair across from me, and this is Fish and Frank here. Anything else that we need to go over with, guys?
Well, I'm just
a heavy sigh.
Playing with this soft plastic shrimp, waiting to talk about fishing, but apparently we're just talking about tent sail stuff, so that's totally cool. We got weeks and weeks and weeks till the next tent sail to talk about fishing stuff, so that's all right.
All right, well, this is Fish and Frank, Captain Josh Olive, and Tim, the owner of Reaper Rods, and thank you guys for listening. Josh and I will be back next week with Josh and Frank Presents.
Are we going to talk about fishing next week, or are we going to talk about fishing stuff?
Okay. We're going to talk about fishing. We can even do a fishing show later today or tomorrow. We'll do another one. All right. Bye, guys. We'll see you on the next one. I got to find out. Let's see. Here's one. I could do this one for out. Here we go. I love 60s music.
It's good music. I don't know her name. She's a fisherman's daughter.
Yeah.